Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Anybody happy to be in God's house today? Come on, I'm happy. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Just tell them I'm happy today. Tell them that, huh? Tell somebody you're happy. Even if you're not, it's a faith statement. Somebody say amen. Hey, it's good to see you. My name is Pastor Brian Gibson, and I'm honored to get to speak into your life for about, I have a short message today of about 120 minutes, okay? So get settled in. No, I'm going to preach for 15 minutes, and I've got a video that we prepared that we want to show you. I made it with my father-in-law about the two churches are becoming one. And so River City Church in Owensboro, Kentucky, and also Victory Church in Amarillo, Texas are becoming one church. So our church essentially is doubled overnight. Somebody give God a hand clap for that. I'm excited about that. And I know people have questions about that, so we've let you turn in your questions. And now what we want to do is we want to provide some answers. But before we provide those answers, how many know a lot of the answers that we give in life are really minimal compared to the big answer that people really need? How many of y'all agree with that? You know, I believe this, that we as the church, we have the greatest answer in the world. And we don't just have a answer, we have the answer. Come on. We don't just have a answer, we have the answer. Let me say that one more time. How many of y'all believe we don't just have a answer? We have the answer. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. And so I'm thankful for that answer coming into my life. And I want us to do this. I want to pray for one moment, and then we're going to share a few minutes together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We take a moment. If you're comfortable with it, you ought to lift a hand to heaven right now. Just let him know we're thankful for the answer. Lord, we take a moment right now, and we say we thank you for the answer of Jesus. We thank you for the answer to sin and the answer to sickness, the answer to poverty, the answer to anxiety. We thank you that we're not without an answer, but we have the answer. And so we look to you, the answer for all of our problems, and we declare that you are indeed our source. Now I pray you meet us right where we are today. You help us, lift us, and bless us. I bless these, your people, in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. The answer, I'm telling you, we have the answer. You know, if you have a Bible on you today, I want you to go ahead and open it up to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'll tell you a story I heard yesterday. I heard about a guy that he was hanging out in the locker room of a nice country club. He's there, he's not at the office, he's not at home. He's just chilling in the locker room. And he looks beside him and he gets a phone call. Phone call comes in, he reaches over, picks up the phone, and there's a bunch of guys in the locker room. Everybody's kind of dodging the office that day. And he tells everybody, shh, shh, be quiet. And everybody got quiet, and he put it on speakerphone. And a lady's voice comes over the phone, and the lady says, hello. And he says, hello, honey. She says, are you at the golf course again today? And he said, yeah, I am, but you know, I probably won't be here tomorrow, but I'm here today. And then she says, well, if you're at the golf course today, I'll tell you, this is 2 days in a row. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go shopping. Now, I'm going to go by my favorite boutique, and there's a leather jacket in there, cost a couple grand. I'm going to buy it. He says, honey, I love you so much. If you want that leather jacket, you just go ahead and buy it. Then she said, by the way, you know, I got a call from the Mercedes dealership. There's a little two-seater Mercedes. There's a color. This Mercedes I've always wanted. It has all the bells and whistles. They said they're going to make me a great deal at $120,000. And would it be okay if I bought that car? And he says, honey, I love you so much. Whatever you want. If you want that car, you deserve that car. I think you should go ahead and buy it today. And she says, I got one more thing I want to tell you. She says that I got a call from the real estate agent. And that house that we've been looking at for years, it's finally on the market today. And it's like $1.1 million, but they say they might come down to $1 million. You think we can buy it? And he said, man, it's a lot of money, honey. That's big time. But I'll tell you what, I love you so much. If you want that house, you go ahead and tell them we're gonna find a way to make a deal with them today. And then she says, I love you, babe. I'll see you at home tonight. He says, I love you too. I'll see you at home tonight. He hangs up the phone. He looks around to all his friends and he says, does anybody know whose phone this is right here? I just want to know whose phone this is. Come on. How many know it matters who's answering the questions on the other end of the line? Somebody say amen to that. You got to watch out who's giving the answers. And in our culture today, everybody's lining up to give answers that really have no authority to answer the questions that people really have. How many know that people are looking everywhere for an answer? Some people are looking to the government for the answer. How many know the government is never going to give us the right answer as a people or as a world? If you believe that, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap. The government doesn't have the answer. If we wait on the government, it's going to be trouble, isn't it? A lot of people are looking to, like Jesse said earlier, the Google. Everybody say the Google, huh? They think the Google is like God. Used to, whenever people had questions, they would go and they would pray. They'd seek the will of God, try to find God, looking for God. Well, now there's this massive mind out there called Google. And what people search, they're, you can check out what people are searching. And it'll kind of break your heart. So say things like, how do I find fulfillment? Is there a God? What is the reason for living? They're typing those things in. People can find out what they're looking for. And I'm telling you, they're not going to find the right answer. They could find the right answer on the internet. Tell me, no, they could also find the wrong answer on the internet. You know where the Bible says the answer for the world's questions is supposed to come from? The scripture says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Right here, you're standing on the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the reason the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth is we are the people that champion the scriptures of the living God. How many are thankful for the Bible, the Word of God, that we can get in our heart and get in our mind, get in our culture, get in our children? That's where truth comes from. If you look at the character of God, you'll find out that He wants to reveal Himself to people, to give them the answers to their question. Jesus is the real answer. He's the answer to sin. He's the answer to sickness. He's the answer to distress and anxiety. He's the answer to feelings of worthlessness. But all of this revelation of who Jesus is, it started before Jesus ever came to the earth. As a matter of fact, it started in the Old Testament. God started revealing Himself unto humanity and telling us who He is. One of the great stories of a revelation of God, it's the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3. If you're there, go ahead and say uh-huh this morning. Here's what it says, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Pray for my voice, I'm fighting pollen. How many of y'all, I'd rather fight devils than pollen, I'll tell you what, but we're going to win in the spring in Jesus' name. Exodus chapter 3 verse 1 says this. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he tarried aside, turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Everybody say, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Skip down to verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moses is doing his thing in this story. He's out tending Jethro's flocks. He's out on the backside of the desert. We're talking about a place that is pretty void of distraction. How many of you would agree with me that 2018 has distraction everywhere? Come on, somebody. It's got it everywhere. And even the phone you have in your pocket. We know that a smartphone now distracts us 88 times a day. 88 times a day we get distracted. Now Moses is distracted on the backside of the desert. We're distracted every minute of our life. And God does something to get Moses' attention. He has this bush, and all of a sudden a flame of fire hits this bush, and it's on fire, but it's not burning. I believe that God has a way to put something on our life where we're on fire, but we never burn out, we never give up, we never dry out. We stay afire with the love and the mercy of God, but we don't burn out. And he sees this thing, it's like that gets his attention. And the Bible says, then Moses turns aside, and he looks over at that burning bush. I'm telling you, God wants to do some things to get us to turn aside. How many of y'all think God probably needs a little more of your attention? I know he needs more of mine. Without a shadow of a doubt. And he can do things to get our attention at times. You know, that bush had to give up a little bit of its life there to get Moses' attention. Then Moses turns aside and God starts speaking to him. He says, take off your shoes. You're now on holy ground. You know, sometimes my kids have the bad habit. Back in the kids' ministry, they're at church so much, church is like home to preacher's kids. You know what I mean? And they'll kick off their shoes and they come out. They got one shoe. They don't have another shoe. I'm like, why are you not wearing your shoes in church, in the kids' ministry? Keep your shoes on. Don't come out here without shoes again. And Justice looked up at me not long ago and said, but Dad, God told Moses, take off his shoes. He's standing on holy ground. I'm like, can't argue with that, son. You got preacher's kids theology fighting with me. But Moses kicks off his shoes. God starts talking to him. God says this to him. God says, here's the deal. I'm going to send you to be a deliverer to the people of Israel. You know, God wants you to be, I believe he wants us as a church to be a delivering force to bring the answer of the gospel to people. People are hurting, people have problems, and I'm telling you, people need a deliverer. And God wants to flow through you this week as a deliverer. I believe that God wants to flow through you, Julie Gibson. Preacher just called you by name. But I'm telling you, God wants to do something big through you this week. I believe that. We need to lift up our eyes. Come on, somebody. We need to look to the harvest, and then God can use us. God said, I'm going to send you as a deliverer. You go tell my people. And he says, but God, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know your name. You're going to have to tell me your name. You got to help me out. Because what do I say when I get there? Who do I say sent me? God gives him this answer. It's kind of an answer, but a question, something that would make you lean in. Because what God does with people whenever we start asking for answers is he gives us typically a piece of the answer to keep us in the game. How many ever realize that if you got all the answers today, you might not seek tomorrow like you should? And what our God wants is not just to download us all the answers, but he wants to create a relationship of hide and seek, come and go, where we keep having this exchange with each other in life. God wants to keep us in tune with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be more in tune with God than I've ever been before. That's what I'm looking to be. And so here's what God says. He says, you go back and tell them the I am that I am has sent you. And it's the word Jehovah. If you've seen the Old Testament word Jehovah or Yahweh, it's the I am that I am. As a matter of fact, the Jews thought that name was so holy, they would never write down the vowels that go with that name. They would only write down the other letters. They put dots as vowels because they said the name of God was so holy, they had to treat it with a holiness. How many of y'all believe the name of our God is a holy, powerful, righteous name? Come on. There is no other name under heaven by which men might be saved. Jesus is a name with power. The I am that I am has sent you. What it also means is I will be what I will be. God said, I am that I am. And he said, I will be what I will be. How many know that God is never going to change you who he is to make men line up and to feel good about his character and his nature? The times may be changing. Come on, somebody. But our God remains the same. The temperature in the air may get different, but the truth of the scripture will never change. What humanity says and right and wrong might change, but our God's word is forever settled in heaven. He will not change. His character remains the same. And I'm thankful for that. He said, I will be what I will be. Nobody's going to do anything about that. I'll stay the same in 2000. I'll be the same in 2005. I'll be the same in 2015. God will not change in 2025. God will be the same God in 2050. And when they lay us to rest, our God will still be on the throne and he will still be the same. Come on, let's give our God a hand clap for not changing like man changes. He stays the same. He's a steadfast God. I am that I am. And God uses that name, Jehovah, and he keeps showing his people who he is through that name. Starts giving them more. At first, it's I am that I am. But then after a while, God starts revealing himself as Jehovah Jireh. What is Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. Everybody say, the Lord, my provider. I am your provision. Come on, let's say it again. Say, the Lord, my provider. Come on, like you mean it. The Lord, my provider. He said, Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider. If people have questions about provision, we got the answer in our God, that our God is our provision. You don't have to be short in life. You don't have to go through life without enough. I'm telling you, you hook in with God, you hook in with his mercy, and he will help you, lift you up over a period of time. You'll become so blessed, you won't remember the struggle you used to have. I am your provision. He also revealed himself as Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. Does anybody out there need peace today on this Sunday morning? Tell you what, if you've ever lived without peace, you'll begin to realize how precious peace is. Because peace is a gift. It's a present. And people that are in nations that have no peace, they'll do anything to get to a country that doesn't have a war zone going on in it. Why is it like that? Because peace is worth everything. Without peace, there's nothing that matters. With peace, everything works out. Sometimes you can be in a place where there's no war, there's no violence. But how many know people have internal conflict all the time? Everything on the outside can look fine, but on the inside, there can be a war raging. Now, I'm telling you, if they say, I have no peace, we have the answer as the church. We have Jehovah Shalom. We have the Lord, our peace. Come on, somebody say this out loud. Say, the Lord is my peace. You know, when somebody tells you they're anxious, somebody tells you they have no peace, you know what to tell them. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Sometimes people don't know what to do next. They say, Pastor, they may be talking to you. They say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what I should do next. They have big questions hanging over their head. What do I do about this situation? What do I do about that situation? You know, the Bible tells us what to do generally in life. So I know there's some things that are off the table, right? The Bible says don't sleep around. It's a no-brainer. Somebody say amen to that. The Bible says things like don't get drunk. It's a no-brainer. It's just written there. So I see that now I don't get drunk. It tells me what to do on some of those thou shalt nots. Also tells me what to do on some positives. Tells me to be kind. How many of y'all think we ought to be kind as Christians? Come on, we just ought to be kind people. It's real simple. But then there are some things the Bible does not tell me about at all. Doesn't tell me where to live. Doesn't tell me where to work. Doesn't tell me where to invest. Doesn't tell me exactly what to say to my children in a tough situation. How many parents have ever had a situation where it's like, I don't know what to say? Do you know what I do when I don't know what to say? I say, Jesse, come here. Talk to this kid. I'll be back later, all right? That's what fathers do. But you mothers have to know what to say. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'll tell you how you can know what to say. The Bible says that our Jehovah is Jehovah Rohi. It means the Lord, our shepherd. We have a shepherd that will guide us. We have a shepherd that will lead us. We have a shepherd that will tell us what to go, where to go, and what to do, and that is the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, you are not without the answer. You have the answer in the Spirit of God. You know, Jesse was with the kids at the zoo the other day on a school trip, and Justice comes running up. He's got big eyes. They're looking at the animals. I don't know about you, but I love zoos. I always have. I love animals. I like watching wildlife stuff. I just kind of dig that. But he comes running up. His eyes are big. And he says, Mom, you know, they have a wolf here. And he looks like scared. They have a wolf here. And she turns around and says, oh, I know they have a wolf here, Justice. She turns around in front of the other moms. She said, you know what you're supposed to do with that wolf, son? Said, you got to kill that wolf. And all the moms are looking at her like she's crazy, right? What's wrong with this woman? She said, listen, we're shepherds. And what we do is we kill wolves. I don't know whether you know it or not, but we have a good shepherd by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if there's a wolf knocking at your door, I'm telling you, he's already killed that wolf at Calvary's cross. You have a shepherd. You don't have to fear the devil. You don't have to fear what's knocking on the door anymore. You've got a God that's bigger than the wolf. Our God kills wolves. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. The scripture says that we have a Jehovah Nisi. If you feel like you're living in defeat, I'm going to tell you there's victory in our God. Come on, somebody say, he's my victory. I'm not getting victorious in myself. My God is my victory. The scripture also says that we have a Jehovah Sitkanu, and that is the Lord, our righteousness. You know, I've found that we will never be righteous in and of ourselves. There's no way that a man can become righteous. Do you know that you can't do enough good to overcome the bad that you've done in your life? You ever seen people that have this kind of pull? They think they've done so much bad that they could never do enough good to outweigh it. But the way the gospel works is the gospel isn't do enough good to outweigh the bad you've done. And then you'll get into heaven. A lot of people think it's like a cosmic chess game. It's this chess game up there where if I make enough right moves, God will let me in. You know that we could never make enough right moves for God to let us in. So God revealed himself as Jehovah Sitkanu, as the Lord, our righteousness. Here's what I've discovered, that I'm not righteous enough by myself to ever be a good little boy. You'll never be righteous enough by yourself to be a good little girl. I'm telling you, what God did is he sent Jesus to die on the cross to purchase our righteousness. And when Christ died and the blood was shed, I'm telling you, the righteousness of humanity was paid for once and for all. And he took our sin and he released his righteousness to us. And now he is Jehovah Sitkanu. He is the Lord, your righteousness. I'm telling you, you can be forgiven. You can be made right with God. God's already paid for you to be made. Righteousness just means to be made right with God. Doesn't it sound good to be made right with God? So much better than being wrong with God, isn't it? Right with God. I'm telling you, God wants to release Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord our righteousness. That's just a Hebrew word for the Lord our righteousness. He wants to release that into your life. I'm telling you, he's the kind of God that's for you and not against you. Would you stand up on your feet with me for one moment? I just want to pray for you before we watch this video. Stay with me. We got some more of the service to go. But I'm telling you, I believe that God wants to release that revelation that he is our righteousness. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me for one moment? I'm telling you, we got a God that's the answer to your problems. Whatever it is, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one that will forgive you, heal you, save you, put you back together. He's the kind of God that says, if you're thirsty, come to me. I'll give you a drink. He's the kind of God that says, if you're hungry, come to me. I have bread for you. He's the kind of God that says, if you're empty, come to me, and I will fill you. I'm telling you, sin can never fill you. It won't take long till the thrill will flat be gone, and you'll still sit there empty. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God wants to fill you on the inside, and he wants to do it through Jesus. If you're out there and you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, or Pastor, I lived for Jesus years ago, but I've been doing my own thing, and I need to come home. If you're out there and you say, Pastor, I need that in my life, whenever I count to three, I want you to lift your hand right there where you are. I want to pray for you. I'm telling you, Jesus shed his blood so that you could be forgiven. You could have a relationship with him. His rightness could come into your life. Whenever I count to three, just lift up your hand right where you are. Come on, one, don't put it off. This is your moment. Two, God's called you here for such a time as this. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray with you. Three, Pastor, pray for me. Just lift up that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see you right there. God bless you. I see you right there. God bless you. Anyone else? I've got a moment for you. I see you right there. God bless you. Those of you that have lifted your hands to receive Christ, I've got one more moment for anyone who wants to join these people. I'm talking about a bold move to connect with God today. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. Let me see your hand. I see you right there. God bless you. God's going to do a miracle in your life. Those of you that have lifted your hand, here's what I want to do. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. I'm going to give you some words to pray. God's going to give it the miracle. God's going to help restore you. I'm telling you, God's going to crash into your heart. He's going to do something supernatural with you. You're going to walk out of here forgiven today. Those of you that have lifted your hands, just pray this loud enough that you can hear yourself pray. Church is going to pray with you. Come on, let's say this to the Father. Say, Father, I'm a sinner. I've lived for myself. I've done my own thing. But today, I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin to Jesus. I believe on his death, on his burial, on his resurrection for my salvation. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. I boldly declare that Jesus is my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Would you be seated with me for one more moment, just about 10 more minutes? Those of you that prayed that prayer, there's a card in the back of the seat. If you'd fill it out, let us know about the prayer that you prayed, and then take it over to the Next Steps booth. I'm going to send you just a few one-minute videos of me right to the number you provide that'll let you know about some next steps you can take in Jesus. Also, we have a gift for you. Listen, I'm so excited about what God's doing in your life and about what God's doing in the life of this church. You know, we gave you the opportunity to give us some questions on what you would like to know about the church merger. And me and my father-in-law, the pastor of Victory Church Amarillo, we sat down together and shot a video to answer those questions. Hey, check it out. I'm so glad you're here. Well, hi, I'm here with Pastor David Brown. Pastor David and I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. He's not just Pastor David. I keep saying this. I call him Big all the time, and people don't know who Big is, but he's also the grandfather to my children, so we lovingly call him Big. But Big and I, PD and I, we want to talk to you for a moment about the upcoming merger and just answer some questions.
Yeah.
We already know that we have the major answer. We just talked to you about that in the service. Come on, Jesus is the answer.
That's right.
For all of our problems.
And we're depending on Him to lead us through this. We don't know all the answers to all the questions, but He is the answer.
No, He is the answer, and a lot of things we'll be figuring out as we do it.
Sure.
I found life, man, you fall, and you get back up, and you learn a lesson, and that's life.
Yeah.
So I'd rather learn from others, and we've been doing that. One of the questions we've had big is why would we merge a couple of churches? And why, I think the question's probably it's a very legitimate question, a good question, but a lot of people who haven't seen this type of ministry that's been coming up in America, it's just a model they're not exposed to.
Right. So many churches in this 21st century looking for new ideas, new ways to connect with culture. And everything changes. Everything's changed with the internet. Everything's changed with communication technology. Everything changes. God even spoke to us in the Bible about in the last days, knowledge will be greatly increased. And we're living in those days right now. So we have new methods, new techniques, new strategies. But there is an old strategy. It goes like this: two are better than one. You know, the Bible talks about this. Uniting together, working in tandem together as team, goes all the way back to Jesus. Jesus built a team.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't just do His own thing without any help or assistance. He built a team. So we're coming together as a team because we can accomplish so much more for the kingdom of God. This is going to increase our pastoral teaching team. This is going to increase our spiritual power as we pray together.
Yeah.
Right now, two campuses that will become multiplied campuses. And what we want to do is, we love Amarillo and we love Owensboro, but we love the world, and Jesus has sent us to the world, and we want to combine our ministry so we can have a greater impact on our nation and on the world for world missions, for evangelism, and for making a mark in this generation for the Lord Jesus.
Wow, that's a great answer. I've seen how powerful it is whenever churches come together, and it's really one church, but it's a shared resource, it's a shared energy, it really creates a synergy that's unstoppable. And there's examples of it all over
sure.
the earth right now.
Sure.
If you're familiar with Hillsong Music, Hillsong Church, Pastor Brian Houston has littered the earth with church campuses being one church, many locations. There's Life Church, Oklahoma City. Pastor Greg Groeschel, they're pushing towards 30 campuses, I think, now.
Yeah.
Reaching 60 to 80,000 people in a weekend at times.
Right.
And my church, the church I pastor, River City, is familiar with Dr. Morocco. Morocco is 150 locations. And I think it's just Jesus's heart to go reach more people.
Absolutely.
That's what we're focused on
and
doing.
And in those models, every campus or congregation has a leadership team, has pastors on site. The needs of the people are being met. The pastoral care is ongoing. But by those campuses and those groups of people coming together as one church in several different locations have so much more impact, so much more ability, so much power, so much more strength to really make an impact on our culture.
Oh, it's incredible. We had a question that kind of dovetails with what we've been talking about. And they were talking about asking questions about different missions emphases.
Yes.
That both of the churches have.
Yes.
Some people are kind of connected to, they'll see something that's done in Owensboro and they say, I'd like to be a part of that. And they've seen something in Amarillo and they say, I'd like to be a part of that. And the question was, would we be able to be a part of the mission trips at either or church? And the answer is yes.
Hey, we're putting together a trip right now for Israel.
Yes, we are.
People from either campus, either church, can now go with us to Israel here this fall. We're going to be doing our 60th crusade in Honduras next spring. And people have been asking us, for instance, specifically about Life Impact International, the ministry that we both supported over in Thailand, you know, with the orphans. And yes, man, we're gonna be able to work together on things like that.
No, it's going to be exciting. And, here's the main thing is that the world is no longer isolated like it used to be, right?
Smaller.
It's smaller. The internet's changed everything. Travel has changed everything. It's become easier. Most of my best friends don't live anywhere close to me. My best friends are all over the earth because I connect with guys that do what I do. But the geography doesn't matter as much. It's what we are in spirit. It's what we are in heart. It's who we are.
You know, one of the concerns that's been coming up, Pastor Brian, is this going to be hard on you and Jesse? I don't know why they didn't ask about me. I'm going to be traveling back and forth.
They don't care about you, huh?
I guess not. But is that going to be hard on the pastoral team, you know, with these campuses? They're 1,000 miles apart. Going back and forth. So give us an answer for that.
Sure. Well, the first answer I would have is that, we're getting a flow going back and forth right now. And Jesse and I, to be honest, there's some people that I believe they're just kind of the traveling kind. You ought to meet my mother. If you don't know my mother is right now having her hips replaced and her shoulders replaced because she's never sat down a day in her life. She keeps moving. She keeps going. And I think the gospel kind of commands and demands that we're goers, right? It's a go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And it's really not something that's uncommon to preachers like us at all. It's really a pretty natural lifestyle when we do what we do.
We do a lot of travel and the ministries that do multi-campusing, it just builds in as a part of it, and we're ready to do it.
Yeah, we're ready to do it. We're happy to do it. And I think it's something that God uses and God flows through. If you look way back, even in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, his model is he goes into a town, right? He sets up a church. He's there teaching, establishing for a period of time, and then he's traveling to the next campus.
Yeah.
It's just a biblical thing that's typically wired into fivefold ministry gifts. A lot of people that aren't what we are, you know, that's my calling, that's my nature. They'll look at me in times and they'll be like, you're crazy. Why do you go to Vietnam? Why would you go here or there?
Yeah.
Why would you want to go there? I mean, it comes with the call. There's no way to shake it.
Jesus has sent all of us to the world. I've had so many people ask me, why aren't you satisfied just being here? Why do you need to go to Central America or India?
I've been
to India. It's not about what's satisfying to us. It's about what Jesus has asked us to do. So let's impact the world. Another person has asked the question about name change. People are concerned about, is there going to be a name change? Pastor Brian, what?
You know, I like Holy Mackerel Tabernacle. That's the name we're going for, because you'll remember that. You may walk out of here today and not know anything we've said. They'll remember Holy Mackerel Tabernacle.
Yeah, everybody that votes for that, send in your email.
Yeah, you can go ahead and email me if you like that name. I think we're not going to change any name now, but I do see,
an
organizational name. And here's kind of what we've been bouncing around, the ideas of what's coming. If we don't go with Holy Mackerel Tabernacle, we do understand that number one, River City Church is a great name for Owensboro, Kentucky. I love the name. But if there's no river out here in Amarillo, Texas, it hadn't rained but once out here in a year. So people will say, well, why don't you spiritualize that and make it like the river of God, you know? And only church folk get that, right? People who've read the book of Revelation will know about the river of life. We're not a church that's pushing to reach church folk to come to our church, right? We're looking for the lost.
That's right.
So the church name has to make sense to the lost. On the other hand, I love the name Victory. It's a biblical name. It's a strong name.
Thank you.
Yes. And now I'm gonna give you the negative side on it. I love the name Victory. I believe we ought to have victory in every area of our life. But long term, there are a lot of Victory churches out there.
Could be confusing because there are a lot of Victory churches.
And some larger brands. So we don't know. In full disclosure, we don't know. But we are praying about, we'd ask for you to fast pray with us. If you have a better idea than Holy Mac or Tabernacle, you could send it into the system. You send in these questions, and we'll think about it. And it may be we come back and we land on one of our names that's pre-existing. But I want to leave that open because I just don't have an answer.
We got two more questions really quick. One, someone has asked, what about the roles, like Pastor David's role, your role? Are we going to be able to go to Pastor David for counseling, things like that? I just want to say, you know, we don't have all that figured out either, but this is the most important answer, the most important thing I can say. There will be no diminishing of pastoral care. We will be here ministering to people. This is a strengthening of our pastoral staff in both locations.
Sure.
And we're going to be here to counsel. We're going to be here to pray. We're going to be here to help families in troubled times when they lose loved ones. We're going to be here to give the same kind of care, and we believe better care for all of our church families involved. So our roles will change. My role as I'm coming into my mid-60s is changing somewhat. I'm going to be having a different focus. Pastor Brian's going to have a different focus. But we're going to take care of everybody's needs, and I think nobody has to be concerned about that or worried about that.
No, it's going to be awesome. I think, as far as I know, there's one more question.
Yeah.
And that was a question about shared resource. Will the churches share the resource in the future, the giving, the finances? And right now, both of these church campuses are financially doing fine. They stand up by themselves. We'll say it like that.
Yeah.
Both of these campuses have been cash flowing themselves and making things work for a long time. Now, I'll say this about our churches. We're the kind of church, our church as a whole, we're the kind of church that's reaching the lost, right?
Yeah.
We're reaching the unchurched and the dechurched. So people don't come to our church typically supporting it financially.
Right.
That's a period of time. So we're always believing God. A lot of people look at a church of 1,000 people and say, wow, they must have everything they need.
Yeah.
And it's not like that. Some people think an angel drops money off in the morning. I'm waiting on that angel, but he's not showing up like that. It's our responsibility as a people to take care of the churches. We are going to plant 100 campuses by the time we hand this church off to the next group of leaders.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do together as a team. And I need your help to do that. But the way that's going to work, and the only way that's going to work, is we will share resources in the future. So if you got a young church plant, you're getting it started, and you're reaching lost people, it's not coming with a big financial rollout.
They simply do not know about tithing, about giving, about seed sowing. But we'll teach them that.
And it's like raising a child, right? You don't expect a one-year-old child to be financially stable by themselves. It'll be a part of our mission. It'll be part of our shared budget. Also, there's things we're already discovering that save us money by being one organization. But I'm excited because the possibilities, I mean, they really are endless. And I'm telling you, I think God's going to knit us together. Like we said today, we already have the answer, right?
Yeah.
And that is Jesus. And if we stay focused on Jesus, focused on building His kingdom, focused on doing something significant, I believe that we're going to have our strongest days we've ever had. And God's going to bless us. He's going to bless your families. He's going to bless us as leaders. And we're going to the next level.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great.
Will you pray for us big?
I'll do it.
All right.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for these two peoples, these two campuses coming together as one church. Lord, our future is bright. We're looking to you for direction. You are our answer, Jesus. We love you. We're here to serve you. And we want to work together to reach the world in your name. And we pray that you'd equip us and empower us to do just that.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.